Earth and Sky.
I think science is an extremely exciting field. When you really make a discovery which you for the first time know something which nobody else knows and which is important to medicine or whatever field you're working on, I mean, there's no higher reward in this world or no higher high that you can get than working in science and achieving a goal that you've been working at for a long time.
You're listening to physicist Bernie Alder, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. In 2009, Dr. Alder was awarded a National Medal of Science. That's the highest honor given to scientists, engineers, and inventors by the U.S. government. Dr. Alder talked about his life's work, pioneering the use of computers to understand how the world works at the atomic scale, with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Alder, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Okay, thank you.
What are your thoughts on being named to receive the National Medal of Science?
This is a great honor. Honor to receive such wide recognition on a national scale.
Now, would you tell us a little bit about the early days of your research in the 1950s? You've been recognized for developing what's called molecular dynamics, and also for developing a way to sample, do computer sampling, random sampling, that's called the Monte Carlo method. Could you maybe take us back a little bit and tell us what it was like as a scientist back in the 50s? What was it like back then to do the work that you did that turned out the way it did?
Well, first of all, these methods, the Monte Carlo method and the molecular dynamics method, were only possible through the development of computers. Before that, people tried to do, by analytical means, mathematical analytical techniques to deal with these, what's called a many-body problem, which is the interaction of many atoms or many molecules simultaneously. And that's a very tough problem. And it was just impossible to do it analytically for any realistic system, except for the perfect gas and the harmonic oscillator. So we developed these techniques to overcome this problem, but one needs a computer. For the Monte Carlo method, you have to make stochastic moves. And they actually evaluate this highly dimensional integral from which you can derive all the properties of a material. It does it exactly in a numerical sense. It's limited by the finite number of particles and the number of digits you can carry to predict the property. And molecular dynamics does the same thing, except it develops its solution through the solution of the simultaneous equations of motion of the atoms and molecules, namely, in the classical case, of the Newtonian equations of motion. So these methods were only possible to be used as computers, and they, quote, solved, in quotation mark, the problem exactly. So we developed a methodology, but we had to wait till electronic computers came along and got bigger and bigger to get really meaningful results.
Yeah, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about those days of the very first computers. What did it feel like to be at that forefront when computers were something that was new? Compared to today, when it seems like computers are everywhere and in everything.
Well, the computers originally were really computers. They were only used what we used to call experimental arithmetic. All they could do is add and subtract and multiply and divide, and do that much faster than humanly possible.
And I guess the idea is to use these computers to predict what nature does. And I'd like your thoughts on how close you think a computer will ever get to simulating what we call reality. Natural events that people are familiar with, such as waves on a beach or medicines inside a body, how those work, or the weather and the climate. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, if you take it from the atomistic point of view, a crashing wave has so many particles in it that no computer will ever simulate it by the particle methods. Just following, let's say, the Newtonian equations of motion of the gallons and gallons of water or whatever. But there are two things we found out which look promising to model these water, let's say, waves crashing on the beach and in the ocean. We found out one of the great discoveries we made is that hydrodynamics applies on a very small scale. For a few hundred atoms running for less than a nanosecond, you can actually quantitatively reproduce hydrodynamic phenomena.
Now, maybe I'd like to maybe address maybe two schools of thought and how to deal with these really with these hard problems. You've talked in an earlier interview that there was reluctance among scientists at one time back in the 1950s to tackle these hard problems of physics using these numerical methods of computers, the early computers, the experimental math, as you described it, rather than by analytical means of using mathematical knowledge, mathematical prowess. How does that compare to what you find today?
I think the situation has radically changed because the computer's methods have shown that we can solve problems that they can't possibly handle analytically. As a tool that lies in between analytical mathematical methods and experiment, it's considered a third branch of physics, computer experiments or computer solutions.
Dr. Alder, thank you very much for taking the time out to speak with us today. One final question, or just summing up question. What's the most important thing that you want people today to know about science?
Anybody can work at it, no matter where they come from, anywhere in the world. And it's an extremely nice community to work in. And nationality, race, religion, nothing matters. Science is above that all. It's a beautiful field, and I recommend that anybody who has any inclination in that direction should pursue it.
Dr. Alder, thank you very much again, and congratulations on winning the National Medal of Science.
Thanks you very much.
You've been listening to retired physicist and computational pioneer Bernie Alder of the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.